Thank you. How many of you know you need God this morning? Hey, Cindy, hi. How are you? I didn't know you were back there. Well, I am a friend of mine, a classmate of mine. I always say Cindy and I were in a wedding together when we were 5 years old. And, so she was the first person I walked up the aisle. She was flower girl and I was ring bearer. Ring bearer, yeah. So that's always a joke between us. We graduated together. Hey, it's good to see you. I've been looking forward to this sermon with this group of people, because at one point I'm going to ask you for some participation, and I know you're going to participate. So I'm really looking forward to it. In fact, if you're not going to participate today, you might as well go home, because it's a participatory sermon. We're going to annual conference. Annual conference of the denomination is Wednesday evening through Sunday morning in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And Kathy and I, Liz isn't, Carol Winger is going, and Jamie Rhodes is going, and Darlene and Clarence Stauffer are going, as well as a number of people from across the nation and other nations who are coming to represent the Church of the Brethren. So it'll be an interesting time, and we covet your prayers, and I thought I wanted to do an annual conference-type sermon. I wanted to take the theme and do that, but in order to do that, I'll need you, so enough of that. Carol Shepherd, let's begin with Carol Shepherd. She's the moderator of the 2017 annual conference and of the Church of the Brethren. She also is a professor at Bridgewater College. And because she's the moderator, she had the privilege of picking the theme, the banner by which we are going to gather. And what she picked was Risk Hope. Risk Hope. I'm going to preach about hope. Risk Hope. And she wrote some paragraphs about it. I'm going to read two of them to you. Don't fall asleep on me, because I'm going to get to preach in a second. But I want you to hear why she picked Risk Hope. She said, "We live in times that challenge our quest to be faithful people. Strife and uncertainty permeate our society and they invade our churches. And Christians, you and me, grow disheartened and discouraged. And yet Scripture teaches that we're not to fear the instability of our times." Listen, why? Because our hope rests in the rock of our salvation. Our hope rests in Jesus Christ. Let the church say amen. You say amen? Amen. Let us be bold in this time of challenge. Let us be bold to turn aside from our despair. Let us be bold to step out in faith. Let us be bold to proclaim the promises that are ours in Jesus and to risk hope for the life and the vitality of the gospel. And then she chooses as the anchor text what was read for us today. I think Allie read it. "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope with unswerving faith, for he who has promised is faithful." Risk hope. What would it look like if we took the risk? I told a story about 5 weeks ago. I'm not going to retell it, just enough to make you familiar with it again. I was in a hospital room when I was a young pastor. And I told you that I was with a grandmother and her daughter, the mother of a very sick child, about 5 years old. Had one of those rare childhood diseases, and it was lethal. He was gravely ill. And I sat beside them and with them and just listened to their stories, probably for a half hour, and listened to what the little boy had been through. And the longer I sat there, the more I felt despairing and overwhelmed. And finally, I said what you would say. I mean, I didn't know what to say, so I just said, "I am so sorry. This is what I want you to remember. I am so sorry." And the grandmother said, "Oh, we're not giving up. Where there is life, there is hope." I want you to say that. Where there is life, there is hope. Say it with me. Where there is life, there is hope. The Church of the Brethren is not altogether healthy. Now, I'm not talking about the Chambersburg Church of the Brethren. I think we're getting much healthier. But the Church of the Brethren is not altogether healthy. The Church of the Brethren is in crisis. The financial support of denominational ministry and programming is waning. The support and enthusiasm for the annual conference and the annual conference decisions is dwindling. And more to the point, we are not of like mind in the body with regard to the whole issue of homosexuality. We're just not of like mind. And because of the varying practice and beliefs of that issue, the conversation around the table has a pale of hostility. And you know, there are some pastors, and I know one of them very well, some pastors who are suggesting that the denomination, the Church of the Brethren, as we have known it, is on life support. And if not for the shining scalpel of the Holy Spirit and divine intervention of God Almighty, it will not survive. Well, I agree with one thing. What I agree with is that everybody could use the divine intervention of Almighty God and the shining scalpel of the Holy Spirit. But I choose to believe what Mark Twain once said: the rumors of our death have been greatly exaggerated. I think Carol Shepherd was right. I think strife and uncertainty have invaded the church to the point that Christians are getting discouraged. But I choose to stand with the psalmist. The psalmist who said, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Hope in God." Who is our hope? Where is our hope? Our hope is in
God.
There you go. Why are you so downcast? I think it's a sad day when the pastors believe that our problems are bigger than our God is. Amen. Scripture says, "Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ." Do you hear that? The power at work within us. God has a power. And God is equipping and resourcing the body of Jesus Christ, that is the church, that is the Chambersburg Church of the Brethren, to be able to do things that are beyond our imagining. How do I know that? Because Scripture says so. And Hebrews 10:22, that Ali read, said, "Let us come before the throne of God, the house of God, with confidence. Let us come with the true hearts and the full assurance of our faith." Brothers and sisters, I'm not giving up. Where there is life, there is hope. When all else is failing, when people are becoming discouraged and despairing, the church has hope. Oh yeah, I know we have our problems. I know we have our struggles. I know there is suffering. The Bible says where there is suffering, there will be perseverance. Where there is perseverance, that will build our character. And character will produce hope. Listen to me. And hope will not disappoint us. The Greek word is cheat. The hope that we have in God and the faith we have in Jesus Christ will never, ever cheat us. You know, at the time the book of Hebrews was written, that's where the scripture comes from, Hebrews 10. The church was going strong, but it was being heavily persecuted. And at the time this book was written, there were a number of churches that had quit meeting together. They had stopped meeting together because they had given up on Jesus Christ. They had given up on Jesus Christ because they were being so persecuted and they were suffering. And because they had quit meeting together, they had given up on hope. And because they had given up on hope, they weren't encouraging one another. That's why our scripture lesson says today, let us not give up on meeting together, but let us spur one another on with love and with good deeds and with faith and encourage one another. And the Greek word for that, encourage, means in our words and our actions, let us invite each other in. Let us give each other a shoulder to lean on and shoulders to stand on. Let us support one another in our faith and in our walk. I want to tell you a story. Because churches do not do that well. Support one another. Encourage one another in hope. About 10 years ago, I was invited to preach a revival service. In fact, I was invited to preach 4 revival services at a church that's a pretty good drive from here. It's Church of the Brethren. About the size of Chambersburg, I would say. When I preach revival service, I always make sure that I get to the first service earlier than everybody else. Because I like, if the church is unlocked, I like to see where I'm going to preach. I want to know how tall the pulpit is and whether I need something like this to help me with my height because I'm vertically challenged. And I like to know where I'm going to be looking and how far away the congregation is going to be. If you ever do that, like if you ever come with me, you're going to find something. The first person to arrive is the sound person or the custodian. The sound person or the custodian, a lot of times they have the key, they'll let you in. And the sound person showed up for this first evening that I was to be there, and he didn't talk to me. Now, I won't say he didn't say anything to me, but he hardly made any conversation, didn't make any attempt. So I put my stuff on a bench, and I started looking over the pulpit, and people came in and, hello, hello. I was the only one wearing a tie, so I was obviously the visitor and the guest. Nobody talked to me. The pastor was late. He didn't come. When he finally came, why, he didn't talk to me either. He talked to other people, and I was pretty much alone, so I thought, well, that's all right. So I got down, and right here, I sat in the front pew like this, and thought, I'll just get ready for the service. More people came in. I thought it sounded terribly quiet. Pastor stood up. He got us started with the announcements, and then we sang a couple of hymns. The singing wasn't very robust. Finally, he introduced me. I turned around like I just did to you and looked, and everybody that was there, and there weren't that many, about 35, everybody was sitting in the last third of the sanctuary. They were sitting in the back, all of them. I thought, boy, such sad and stoic faces. I came here for a little encouragement, and they're down, real down. So I went to the piano, and I got up Amazing Grace, and I sang Amazing Grace, and I asked them to join me. Guess what? They didn't sing. So I changed keys, took it up a couple of notches. I pounded the piano. I got the volume up. They didn't sing. So I thought, that's the way it's going to be, is it? Okay. So I just, when it came time to go to the pulpit, I went clear back to where they were. Thought, I'll preach to you and you're not going to get. I told my best stories. I started with my best joke. I danced. I gestured. I did everything to try to get these people to engage. And they would not budge. They sat there. My best joke flopped. I couldn't wait to get out of there. Prayed I wouldn't have to go back. I had to go back. And I didn't say this in the first service. It got better. But that first night was disastrous. Well, I stood at the door and shook hands. And people came out. I didn't get any nice sermon. I didn't get any attaboy. I didn't get glad to see you. I didn't get much of anything. And then this older woman came and she shook my hand. And she was serious. She was absolutely serious. And she looked at me and she said with a little smile on her face, I'm sure you can tell we're a fun bunch. Hello. Everybody left. The pastor left. I went out into the parking lot. I got on the phone to call Kathy to tell her when I was coming home. And I said, honey, I've been with a fun bunch. If it was any more fun, I'd have been in a funeral home. I want to tell you, clearly, hope and joy had left the building like Elvis. And discouragement and despair and sadness had taken control. You say, how do you know that, Joel? How can you say that? Oh, it was their face, honey. If they had the joy of the Lord and they had the strength of God and the hope of God, they should have notified their faces. It was pathetic. Brothers and sisters, risk hope. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Let us hold fast to hope. Let us be stubborn about it. Tony Evans, the great preacher from Texas, says that for many Christians, and he might be talking about me, many Christians believe that hope is just wishing for something you're never going to get. Hope is just wishing for something you're never going to get. Oh, I'm never going to get any better. It's never going to get any better than this. I'm never going to be able to make it through this. We're never going to be able to communicate with each other. We'll never make a difference. We'll never get through this unscathed. Never, never, never. You know, that kind of attitude breeds a lot of negativity in the church. And when the church gets down, the people feel down. And when the people feel down, the people leave. And they stop meeting together. The author of Hebrews says, don't you quit meeting together. But I tell you, one time, and this is where I've been looking forward to being with this church. One time, I saw it differently. One time, I saw it differently. Now, Brittany here in the yellow, she's heard this story. I know you've heard this story, but that's all right. She could get up here and tell it for me, but I'm going to tell it anyway, and she's going to help me. When my kids were in high school, two of my kids, my two young ones, I took them to Villanova University in Philadelphia to see a Christian concert. And who I took them to see was DC Talk. They no longer sing anymore. They sing individually, but not as a group. Y'all know, does anybody know DC Talk? People know DC Talk? You know, Cindy, you know? Toby Mac still does it. Yeah, Kevin Mac a little bit. And of course, Michael Tate is now with the Newsboys. Their opening act was an African-American group of sisters named Out of Eden. And I like them. You know, they don't sing anymore either. Well, at 8 o'clock, the 8 o'clock hour came, the lights went dim, then the lights went out, and the drums started playing, and the spotlight went on, and there was more drumming going on, and people started to clap. And all at once, these three African-American sisters came out on the stage, and they started waving their hands back and forth like this, and looking at the audience and waving their hands back and forth. Can you wave your hands back and forth like this? Just humor me, humor me, humor me. Here we go, waving your hand. And the oldest sister looked out into the audience, keep waving, and she said, is Jesus in the house? Say, oh yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, is Jesus in the house? Say, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Watch, can I get a witness? Oh yeah, can I get a witness? Oh yeah, watch, say, ooh, ooh. Oh, you got it. It was electric. Now, listen to me carefully. I know that was an arena full of teens. An arena full of young people in the dark. Most of us didn't know one another. I know I can't step up to the podium next Sunday, or Liz won't step up to the podium next Sunday and start going like this. And you're going like this, or I've seen it in the church, let's do the wave, and everybody's doing the wave, and let's jump up and down. I mean, you can't do that every Sunday. It would be disrespectful. I mean, you could do it once or twice. I'd like to see the brethren lose it once. But I've got to tell you, if I had my choice of churches to be with the people who were a fun bunch, or the, I know where I'm going. And so do you. I've got to tell you, when she asked the question, is Jesus in the house? You knew that she knew Jesus was in the house. And because she knew Jesus was in the house, you wanted to be in the house. And you wanted to be with Jesus. And you wanted her faith. And you wanted what she had, and you wanted to encourage your neighbor and say, Jesus is in the house. Don't give up the habit of being together. Brothers and sisters, we serve a mighty God. We serve a great God. In this world you will have troubles, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world, God. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, I still have hope. Oh, you don't say it like you mean it. You sound like the fun bunch. I still have hope. There you go. Look, the church should have cornered the market on hope. The church should own hope. The church should have hope when nobody else in the world has hope. Because we worship a God who is the giver, the resource, the reason for hope. Because of what he has promised, and he who has promised is faithful. That's what the scripture says. He who has promised is faithful. You know, when I wrote this sermon on Friday, I sat down and I thought, now what exactly has God promised me? Don't be unwavering in your being. Be unwavering in your hope, because God who has promised is faithful. What has God promised me? And you know, I started to look and I started to recall, God has promised me skadoodles. Skadoodles, whatever that is. My dad used to say it. I think it's German. But anyway, he promises these things in random order, and it's not nearly a complete list. I am with you. I will help you. He promises I will never leave you or forsake you. I will come to you. I will give you my peace. I will deliver you from your enemies. I will lead you beside still waters. I will shepherd you through the dark valley and lead you in the paths of righteousness. I will make your path straight. I will hear the prayers that you give, and I will heal you. I will give you the desires of your heart. I will be the stronghold in your life. And best of all, those who hope in the Lord, Isaiah 40, you know it the same as I do. Those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength, right, Cindy? They'll mount up with wings like an eagle. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Amen and amen. That's what it looks like when the church has hope. What is this about the death knell of the Church of the Brethren? I'm going to close by by borrowing a segment from a sermon last year. It's just a short piece. But that pastor said, and I'm saying to you, 135 years ago, a German philosopher whose name is Friedrich Nietzsche. You know what Nietzsche said? What did Nietzsche say? He said, God is dead, and we have killed him. He said, God is dead. Nietzsche was an atheist. He also said, I will believe in God the moment I see Christians acting like they believe in him. He said that too, which I think is prophetic, but not pathetic, prophetic, because I think this is a little bit what I'm talking about today. But Nietzsche said, God is dead and we have killed him. He got part of it right. On a dark day, 2,000 years ago at Golgotha, we killed God. We didn't, you and me, although our sin did. They killed God, they put God in a grave, they rolled a stone over the grave. They sealed that stone with a special wax that kind of acted like a glue. And if that weren't enough, they took ropes and stretched it across the mouth of that stone, to keep it pressed in till that wax hardened. It was impossible to get into, it was impossible to break out of, and they walked away in satisfaction that God was there. Well, I got news for you, brothers and sisters. The grave could not hold your God, and death could not contain my God. And I got more news for you. Friedrich Nietzsche has been dead and in a grave for 117 years, and Jesus Christ is alive and well today. Amen? Amen. Absolutely. See, I'm excited. Somebody asked me why I'm sweating so much. Why aren't we here? This is an exciting piece. You know, the Lord gave. You and I have the privilege of knowing and serving this Lord. And if the Lord is alive and well, and I know for a fact that he is, then any talk about this brethren not coming back from the cemetery is hogwash. Because I have hope. Our hope is built on nothing less, the hymn writer wrote, than Jesus Christ is righteousness. Is Jesus in the house? Say, oh yeah. Oh, yeah. And because he is, risk hope. Always err on the side of hope. When you have hope, you have everything you need. Lord Jesus, thank you for helping me to write this sermon, writing it for me and taking over. Had a lot of fun today giving it, and I just pray that it's really something relevant for us. In our time. I pray that it applies to the people that are sitting here, and I pray that it applies to the Chambersburg Church of the Brethren. You know we came through a dark time. You know we came through a crisis. You know there were people who said, we will not survive. We will never get over this. We will never be able to move beyond. We will never be able to make a difference. And here we are. And you know why we are? Because our hope is in you. Why be so downcast and despairing? When you have proved time and time again, great is your faithfulness, there is no shadow or turning with you. Thank you so much for your promises, and thank you so much for your encouragement, and thank you so much that whatever valley of the shadow of death we go through, whether it's a diagnosis, or whether it's a relationship brokenness, or whether it's a job crisis, or whether it's an early retirement, or whether it's raising teenagers and children and all the things that go with that on both sides, raising parents, caring for elderly parents, the fact of the matter is you have not left the throne. And tomorrow is a-coming. Suffering produces perseverance. Help us to persevere. Perseverance produces character. Help us to be a church full of characters, literally Christian people who are committed to a lifestyle in Christ. And commitment and character produce hope. And hope will not cheat. You have never told us a single untruth. I praise you for everything you have done for this church. Help us to be a body that lives the story. In your name I ask, amen. Just want to point out a few announcements. I think I always say that, don't I? I just want to point out a few announcements. We are going to annual conference, and that means Carol Wingert, our administrative assistant and able-bodied person in the office, will be with me in Grand Rapids, and Jamie will be in Grand Rapids. And some of you might say, what are we going to do? Well, first of all, the office will be open 5 days a week, just like it has been all 5 days. Carol will be in the office tomorrow. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday are being covered by Karen Wagner or Liz Thorpe. So if you call the office, there'll be a warm body and a pleasant voice to take your message. And if you have a pastoral concern, what if you end up in the hospital or you know somebody who did? You contact the office or you call Liz Thorpe. Call Liz at home. Liz is a pastor. She's a licensed minister in a church. And she will come and make a visit and pray with you until I get back. And I'll be back next Sunday. Be mindful that I announced this last week. Midweek Connection is Wednesday, July the 5th. That's coming up in 2 weeks. And we're going to play bingo. And we need donations of baked goods, so we have prizes for the bingo. And so if you can donate some baked goods, you might even win them back. You might even win them back if you're lucky. Okay, there was something else I wanted to tell. Oh, I'm having a discussion group, a good time, getting together with our younger adults, 18 to 35, at Kathy's in my house. And you can see the topics there. I announced that last week. But there's a sign-up sheet back there on the table, and right straight back from me to do that. Okay, where's my praise team? Are they behind me already? Yes, they are. Okay, I'll be quiet.